What will you remember about 1997?
God, what happened in 97?
1997.
I found this bizarre, fascinating from beginning to end because...
It came and it went.
We got to see these really terrific pictures of another planet so close and so crisp and I...
Can't wait to see the Marv Albert tape on the internet where you can get little bites of 1997.
It came and it went.
皆さん、ようこそ。世界中が待ちに待ったピチカート5の新しいアルバムが。
Time just has flown by so quickly. It's 97.
Actually, for me, 1997 has been a trying year.
Cut the head in half using a bandsaw and scoop the brains out.
Tune in for a shortcut through 1997.
Blast the brain out with water or air.
New Year's Eve at 11.
Suck the brain out through a hole in the head.
A shortcut.
What about free speech?
Here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM.
What about free speech?
1997.New Year's Eve at 11.
What about free speech?
That's not the point. You're giving this place a bad name. I've got my position to think of.
And you listen to radio station WBAI New York. It's 8 o'clock, time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call.
And a very good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. This week, Fiber Optic is away on assignment, but we have Bernie S. standing by on the telephone. Bernie, you there?
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay. Pretty good.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. We've got several updates for people, and a warm welcome to everybody listening in over the internet, as well as all of our listeners here in New York City. First, a little note from Fiber. This is concerning something that happened last week where we were talking about ADSL service potentially coming to New York. Well, It was being offered through UUNED, and Freiberg set out to look into it because, as you know, he has a vested interest in making sure that ADSL does not come to town within a year because of that sort of challenge where he has to eat his hat if it's available before, I think, August of next year. He says UUNET does not currently offer ADSL. They're offering what they're calling IDSL, not to be confused with what 9X was going to call IDSL, though it stands for the same thing. All it is 128K ISDN over a dedicated line to your ISP, so you're not paying switched ISDN rates to the local telco. It's a cheaper solution for people who want to be connected at 128K 24 hours a day without paying by the minute. Feel free to check out UUNET's website. However, there won't be any hat eating anytime soon. Sincerely, Fiber Optic. So that's the latest as far as that goes. We'll continue to update people on the availability of ADSL in this local area. Now, speaking of local area, I guess it's a good time as any to read this letter that we got from a listener. We don't know where this listener is, actually. They're someplace. They're not here. They're not in the United States. I'm a hacker living outside the U.S. I think your radio program is excellent, but it could be better. It seems that you give a lot of emphasis to what is going on in the U.S., and not what is going on throughout the world. I'm not interested in hearing about whether ADSL is available in New York or not. Is this a timely letter or what? Now that you are being broadcast over the internet, please keep in mind that a majority of your listeners are not from your area and thus aren't interested in knowing what is going on in your area. There are many other more important things to talk about than what is going on in such a small area of the world. If you have nothing more important to talk about, feel free to spend more time taking phone calls or talking about new security bugs and networks. Things turn up all the time. Well, first of all, let me just address one point. Yes, it is a small area of the world, but it's the best area of the world, right? Okay. So, feed on that for a little while. But no, the most important thing, though, is that this person seems to be forgetting. Yes, we are broadcasting to all of the world over the internet, but that does not mean that most of our listeners are the people listening to us on the internet. We're getting a few, you know, a couple of hundred here and there, but we're at this radio station on the top of the Empire State Building in New York City, you know, which is kind of big. And we have a lot more listeners over the radio, as far as I can see. But the most realistic thing I can say is that we're in New York, so therefore we're going to be talking about things that we see, that we experience, that are happening to us. And I assume you're listening because that's of some interest to you. We can't talk about things in Poland because we're not there. You know, we could do remote shows in other cities, I guess, if the people of those cities want to send us over there. We can work something out, I guess. But I'm glad people are listening from all over the world. And if you want to send us information about stuff that's going on in other parts of the world, we certainly will be happy to read about it and tell people various things. Okay, more letters. Just so you guys stop obsessing about haggis and Scottish food. All right. Haggis states at the bottom of their quote-unquote threat that it stands for Hackers Against Geeks in Snowsuits. I'm guessing NASA. Well, that from Sinflood, president of Black Hand. I don't even want to know what that's all about. But, I guess that's what supposedly it stands for. But it is a word still, and Haggis supposedly means sheep guts, and I don't understand it, and it's all this Scottish stuff going on. We'll figure it all out. A couple of things. Speaking of Yahoo and web hacks and things like that, we mentioned the av.yahoo.com/bin/query thing a couple of weeks ago. That's where you could click on the URL and see random searches that people were inputting. Well, that no longer works. The person who sent it to us actually sent us a letter telling us this. He says, I suppose with the address being broadcast all over the world and Yahoo being hacked, they disabled it. You can no longer see what people are searching for. Thanks for telling people about it. And there's no sarcasm in here either. Even if Yahoo doesn't like it, someone has to give out information. Sincerely, Code Freeze. And thank you very much for giving us the information in the first place. And there is new information, too. You guys might find this fun. Although I'm told that it's already available on their main page anyway. But you can get random URLs from Yahoo. And if you want some fun, if you set your home page to be this, every time you go into your browser, you'll get a totally different web page from God knows where. And the address is random.yahoo.com/bin/ryl. random.yahoo.com/bin/ryl. And it goes to a random URL that I suppose somebody is accessing, which is the reason why it shows up. I was playing with it last night. Boy, there's a lot of sick people in this world. I mean, some of the things people are accessing, I just never would have even thought to look for those. But you live and learn. Okay, and a letter concerning MetroCard. In case you or your listeners haven't heard about this, I'd like to bring to your attention a glitch in the program controlling the MetroCard. That's the New York City transit system for all those people in other parts of the globe. When one has spent one's last fare, one cannot get the free transfer from the bus to the train. This happened to me last Saturday when I used my card to board the Q60 bus at approximately 9:30 a.m., and then attempted to enter the 60th Street Lexington Avenue subway station on the downtown side at approximately 10:30. When I checked with the token clerk, she informed me that there was no money left on the card, but had no explanation to offer about the lack of a transfer. The two-hour limit definitely had not been reached. Subsequently, a friend inquired about this problem for me while making a visit to the J Street Transit Authority MetroCard Center. He was told unofficially by a TA employee that a problem does, in fact, exist. This person is asking that any listeners who have experienced this problem contact the TA so that they will feel pressured to take action. For me, the loss of 75 cents does not constitute a hardship. It is the principle of the thing which rankles. However, for some low-income people, such as WEP workers, who are not eligible for the half-fare program, the additional $1.50 expense may mean the difference between having a much-needed drink or snack at work or doing without. Let's make sure we receive all the benefits to which we are legally entitled. So that's apparently the bug happens when you use your MetroCard to transfer, and it's the last fare on the MetroCard. So I guess if you have, I don't know, a $5 MetroCard or something like that, and you use up the last fare, try to transfer at that point. If it doesn't work, let us know. If it does work, let us know too, because we'd certainly like to find out about that. MetroCard updates here. And a letter concerning our guests of last week concerning the anti-online feature in the last broadcast. These people here, we're also trying to obtain a network connection from a college that we wish to remain nameless because we are still working on getting a connection for our server. However, we can readily identify with your guest and the bureaucracy he had to deal with. We are also dealing with the same moronic administrators, except in our case, we actually have support from some faculty and MIS. The bandwidth excuse seems to be very common among college administrators, even though most, if not all, don't know what it is. Some even refer to it as the pirating of copyrighted music. Yeah. They seem to be making policies up as they go, but we have obtained an agreement. The key to our hoped-for success is we gave them no alternative. That's always a good key. We formed a valid organization and documented everything. Even so, we spent 6 months beating around the bureaucratic bush with these fools who understand nothing but their own egos. Here are some direct quotes from instructors slash administrators. I know everything there is to know about Windows 95, even though I've never seen it. Number two, you don't need a mouse in Windows 95. True. Technically, you don't, but it really comes in handy. Okay, here's another one. Oh, look, here's a computer, and it even comes with a pen. Comes with a pen. All right. And now an administrator quote here. Your Unix server will be more secure behind our firewall. We'll just map a link to it. Okay. Here's another one from the same administrator. You can't write web pages with JavaScript because it doesn't work with Netscape 1.0. Who's running Netscape 1.0 anyway? And finally, we have specially built... Actually, this isn't the last one. We have specially built hardware which we can only run this OS on, and we just spent $50,000 to upgrade the Pentiums that can only run this OS. Yeah, that sounds about right. How about this from the instructor? The entire internet is stored on the big computer downstairs, actually. You can go down there. You can go down there and see it through the window. You must use DOS Edit to write your Visual Basic forms. And the person closes by saying, if Fiber doesn't believe a word of this, tough beans, we've had to sit through hours of classes of this. So, yeah. Free Kevin Mitnick, Scotland Independence Now. I don't know why the two of them are linked, but let me tell you something. It's a lot easier to free Scotland than it is to free Kevin Mitnick. And what's with the Scottish links all of a sudden? Scottish sheep guts and Scottish independence? Just never seems to end here. I was listening to the Real Audio broadcast of October 28th. Bernie mentioned a Qualcomm phone that is dual mode. In Canada, we have a company called ClearNet that is using a phone by Qualcomm and Sony. The phone is quite nice. I have not had it drop out to cellular yet. That means analog. So I can't mention the quality, but the digital sound is quite nice. The phone has what they call a jog dial, which is a little wheel that you use to navigate the menus. It's interesting. It's the only phone that I have seen that has this. We have two new companies in Toronto, Fido, which is GSM, and ClearNet, which is CDMA and the analog, that are PCS. The price is quite reasonable, $150 Canadian dollars for the phone, $25 a month for 100 minutes, including voicemail, caller ID, call waiting, and text messaging until February 98. Additional stuff is three-way calling and call forwarding, paging service, and text messaging. On the same note, Fiber mentioned that CDMA doesn't have SSM, but I think it means SMS. But I think that ClearNet has messaging. People can email me using the net or program, which they make you pay for. My email address is just the phone number, 416 and seven more numbers at MS. No, he really doesn't give the numbers. At msg.clearnet.com. It's kind of neat, but the funny thing is that if a person sends me an email message, the timestamp is 5 hours ahead of the time it was sent. Sounds like somebody didn't set their GMT clock to be in the right time zone. Anyway, the rates are 20 cents a minute charged by the second, but some of the neat features that they claim I can get. Well, they don't go on as to what those features are. I don't have it here in front of me. But you also have to give out certain bits of information up there as far as who you are in order to get service, which leaves a lot of people out. If you don't have a credit card, for instance, can be a little bit difficult. The other cool thing is that ClearNet claims I get 20 cents a minute long distance anywhere in North America. I haven't gotten my bill yet to see if this is true. We had a mail strike, so I'm still waiting for the bill. I'll let you know when I get the bill. So, well, I'm waiting here to find out about that. And that's the CDMA company up there, ClearNet, which seems to be offering a better deal than the GSM. And the same seems to be holding true here, too, as far as bills that people get. The CDMA bills are generally lower, or so it seems. The calling plans are more reasonable. Bernie S., you there?
I'm here, and I'm on my Sprint PCS CDMA phone.
How's that working out for you there?
It's working great.
Yeah? Well, you might be interested in this, too. This is something that I got from a magazine called Microwave News. They talk about all kinds of radio emissions and dangers to health and that kind of thing. And this is from a letter to the editor, actually, called CDMA versus TDMA Health Impacts. I believe that the European and planned world GSM digital mobile phone standard will be found to have been a disastrous choice. GSM signals appear to be biologically active and capable of causing disabling health effects. New evidence shows that the regular pulsing of GSM signals disrupts important biological processes, while time division multiple access TDMA systems GSM, TIA, IS-54, emit regular short bursts of high-energy data pulses at extremely low frequencies. The co-division multiple-access CDMA digital system, TIA, IS-95, emits a far more continuous stream of data with very little periodicity. Indeed, as far as our bodies are concerned, the CDMA signal resembles a noisy, fully amplitude-modulated analog signal. The handsets can also run at considerably lower peak transmission power than those using GSM. In the long run, microwaves may play a role in the development of cancer. However, it is becoming increasingly clear that the regular pulsing of the TDMA signal may cause neurological problems in the short and medium terms. GSM, IS-54, and digital cordless phones deliver sharp-edged, extremely low frequencies, ELF, magnetic pulses with an amplitude of severo micro Tesla into the user's head. These pulses arise due to current surges from the battery. Most studies have only simulated the microwave signals and ignored these magnetic ELF pulses. I believe that the headaches, fatigue, confusion, memory loss, and anxiety problems that are now being regularly reported by users of GSM phones will be confirmed in the large-scale EC-funded study, which is due to be completed next February. Memory loss, which can eventually appear as permanent dementia, does not appear to occur with the use of analog mobile phones. On the other hand, I do not believe that memory and dementia problems will be seen among users of the IS-95 CDMA system. South Korea has selected this technology for its second-generation cellular system, making it a good place for an epidemiological study. If the CDMA signals do not produce early dementia effects, the imperatives of public health would justify scrapping the GSM and IS-54 systems and replacing them with the safer CDMA digital system. And that was written by Alasdair Phillips, consultant. Doesn't say what he's a consultant for, but he's a consultant over there in England. And what do you think about that, Bernie?
I think he might be an investment consultant for IS-95 proponents.
Well, that's a possibility, too.
But actually, I haven't experienced any dementia or any additional dementia after using my IS-95 type phone.
You're not supposed to, because that's...
That's right. I'm not supposed to. But if I were using an Omnipoint phone, as you were in the past, do you notice any less dementia now that you're using a CDMA phone?
The dementia I was getting, I thought, was because of the Omnipoint people I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
that made me almost mad. But no, I didn't notice. I did notice the phone got rather hot. And,
yeah.
That kind of bugs me a little bit. But this is something, you got to study these things. You have to have studies to determine if this is hazardous, because everyone's sticking these things up next to their heads and talking on them for long periods of time. You know, I think we need to know these things, if they're hazardous or not.
You'll probably see, if this goes more public than in a narrow publication like Microwave News,
mm-hmm.
You may see the GSM industry pulling out all the stops and funding all kinds of medical studies proving that their phones are completely safe, just like the cellular industry, if you remember a few years ago, pulled out all the stops.
To be honest, I haven't seen the GSM industry doing much to promote GSM recently, so I don't know if they're going to be doing medical things. I mean, you heard about what happened to the Wiz, right? Somebody beat him pretty good. Well, they've gone Chapter 11, and I went over to a Wiz, you know, not so much to mock them, but just to find out the facts, you know, as to what's going on, if this store is going to be open, you know, what are you going to do with the rest of your life, that kind of thing. And while I was there, I figured I'd look for the new Ericsson phones and maybe get one of those for the Omnipoint service I have. And wouldn't you know it, they didn't have any Omnipoint phones. The Omnipoint people, they said, were no longer there. They just sort of left. They said, this is out on the island. They have a transmitter on the roof, and this is according to a Wiz employee. I'm not saying this is gospel, but that's what I was told, is that they just were getting a lot of complaints, and they just sort of left everything there, including the transmitter. And they're not maintaining it at all. Meanwhile, they have a big Sprint PCS display now. So I don't know where this thing is going, but it's kind of frustrating.
Sounds like they all became demented and ran away.
I don't know. Maybe it's a side effect. But I'd like to have more information. I'd like to have the signal that I got last week with Omnipoint out on the island disappeared. You know, it was there and now it's gone. I was getting a signal in a really weird place. So there's all kinds of weirdness going on.
All these things do not bode well for Omnipoint. Actually, I'd like to point out that I think the advertising agency that Omnipoint has chosen, at least in Philadelphia, appears to be quite demented.
What do you mean by this?
Well, there's a couple of posters here that they've been putting up. They're heavily marketing the prepay phone services through mm-hmm. Omnipoint down here in Philadelphia for what they refer to as the credit-challenged demographic group.
Credit-challenged. And they charge much more for these people, don't they?
Oh yeah, well it's not outrageous, but it's about 10 times more than I'm paying for my phone.
It's pretty outrageous, I think. I mean, if you don't have a credit rating, odds are you can't afford a credit card. So where does it stand to reason you can afford to pay 10 times the amount that, you know, people like you are able to pay?
It's pretty ironic, you know, if you're in the position where you have poor credit, you probably can't afford to spend 10 times more than the average bear.
Sprint PCS does the exact same thing as far as offering the prepay plan.
Sure.
But now what's this about advertising?
Well, these posters, they seem to be in a different language aimed at this demographic group described as being credit challenged. One of them One of them has a parrot talking, a parrot dressed in, looks like gang clothing. He's got a baseball, that's right, a gang parrot. He's got a baseball cap on backwards, baggy pants. He's got great big sneakers on, and is he's saying what's he saying? In one poster, he's saying contracts are whack.
And, okay.
And another poster, he's saying get on point with the prepaid joint. Now, I called on the point about this.
You can't say that on MTV.
Well, I called on the point about this, and I asked what the term get on point actually means, and what exactly a prepaid joint means. And I asked if there was a marijuana connection, and they denied that completely, and they said if you ask, they just like were like denying everything about this advertising strategy, and they gave me the name of the woman in charge of this promotion here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been refusing my calls. I've been trying to get these definitions pinned down, what all this means.
Well, maybe we should do an expose on this and do some investigation.
I got one of the posters for you. I'll have to give it to you. I haven't, the one that says contracts are whack is referring to you shouldn't have to sign a contract to get a portable phone, which you don't have to with Sprint PCS anyway, but you do with many cellular carriers. I haven't been able to get that poster yet because it's actually even more amusing.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it's like these posters are in a foreign language.
Well, the interesting thing is with Sprint PCS, they segregate all the people who are prepay. At least according to the sales rep that seems to have some knowledge of this, the last four digits have to be between 1999 and 2999.
So, wow, so you can tell from somebody's phone number whether they're credit challenged.
You can tell from someone's phone number what their credit status is with Sprint
PCS.
That's not
good.
That's according to the salesperson. I mean, you can call some people and, you know, ask them, I guess.
In the future, we could have entire exchanges or area codes depending on your socioeconomic status.
Uh-huh. That's not a bad idea. I'm sure the administration would be happy to take that up.
Sure.
Yeah. I had an interesting experience, though, trying to figure out the problem with my phone. As you know, I've been getting very, very low battery life on the Samsung phone that I have. And I was going crazy trying to figure out why this was.
I told you not to buy that phone.
Well, yeah, you did. You did. Everybody did, in fact. But you know how I am. I just have to not listen to anybody. But I bought it, and I bought the warranty thing with it, which I felt I was suckered into. But you know, I'm glad I did now because I'm using that for all it's worth. I brought the phone back to a Radio Shack, and I said, look, I've got this phone here. I looked at the webpage for Samsung. It says this battery is supposed to give me 24 hours of standby time, which is the time that you use when you're not making any phone calls. I leave this thing on in my house, and it's run out of batteries in 6 hours without me getting a single phone call. So I said, look, let's do some tests here. I'm going to leave the battery plugged into one of your phones, and we'll see how long it lasts in Radio Shack. And to my surprise, the guy actually agreed to do this.
Wow.
So, yeah, we left the battery there. I came back the next day. It was still charged. So I said, okay, that proves there's nothing wrong with my battery. There's nothing wrong with my battery charger. There's something wrong with my phone. Give me a new phone. So he gave me a new phone.
There you go.
He gave me a new phone. And then I took it home, and I got to reprogram it. You have to call Sprint up to do this. And this is something I'd like people to participate in, this little experiment that we're running here. When you program a Sprint phone, they will ask you for the phone number that is on it right now, which is a 10-digit number, the first seven of which are zeros, the last four of which are a certain number. When you do that, they give you a 6-digit code to unlock the phone, and then you change the phone number of the phone to what your number really is, and then the 6-digit code no longer works. Now, if we can get a bunch of those 6-digit codes, line them up with the 4-digit number that you are given, I think we might be able to figure out the algorithm and see what the code is now when you have a real phone number. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Yeah, so it's a pretty simple system.
The trick is getting enough people to participate in that so we have enough data to crack it.
Well, I've got mine, and I think I've got one other coming. So if we just get one or two, I mean, there's nothing we can do with the information. I don't think there's anything we can do with the information to defraud people or anything like that. So you don't really have to worry about that. I think it only works for the Samsung, but it might work for the Qualcomm as well.
Yeah, the procedure for programming my, I have the Sony Qualcomm phone, what Qualcomm calls a QCP1900, the one that has the earpiece that that sort of flip, it doesn't flip up, it sort of slides up. And from a, I didn't have to program it that way. It was just I just had to give them a serial number and then enter in the phone number, and then within half an hour it was activated. I can leave my handset on for two whole days. And it stays on for 2 days on one charge.
Well, let me finish my story, what happened, because it gets better. I brought the phone home, and I said, I've got a brand new phone now, and I left the thing on. In 5 hours, it was dead.
Oh, man.
It was horrible. It was really horrible. I was tearing my hair. I wondered what I was going to do next, you know? I have to go back to that place now and tell the guy, look, you know, this phone doesn't work either. Give me another new phone. But I figured if I did that, at least I'll get another code, and I can figure out, you know, the algorithm, so there's some consolation. But, you know, I was running the experiment. I took the antenna off to make sure that it wasn't getting a signal, you know, to see if it maybe had something to do with that. And basically, it kept getting a signal anyway because, I don't know, it was just getting a signal without an antenna. Then the next day, I couldn't find the antenna. It's just like somehow, you ever lose something when you're sitting down? It's, you know, you're sitting at a desk and you lose something and you know it can't have gone far? Well, this went very far because I haven't found it to this day.
Maybe you sat on it.
I don't know. Well, it should exist in some form. So anyway, what I wound up doing was going to another Radio Shack and basically getting an antenna with my little warranty thing that I was suckered into getting, which has really paid off. And then I went into the city with the same phone and left it on, and you know what? It lasted much, much longer. So it's got something to do with the signal strength. If you have a really low signal that keeps coming and going, it'll wear out your batteries like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
At least on that phone.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, the phone can have its output power adjusted, which is going to be the more output power it has to transmit to talk to your nearest cell site, the more quickly it's going to drain your battery. So I guess since it senses that your cell site, if there's not one near where you live, but it can still pick it up, it has to really strain to keep polling that and say, here I am over here.
Right.
That could explain why it's dying so quick. Whereas in the city where you're really close to cell sites everywhere, it doesn't have to strain itself.
The funny thing is, the cell site that it's straining to communicate with, it can never make a phone call on. It just never works. So it's really draining the battery and not doing much good for anything else.
Well, I would keep on them. I mean, I have great reception. I'm in my home right now, and I think I'm probably only a few blocks from a Sprint PCS cell site. But, you should get on their case there and explain to them that.
I just am happy knowing that I know what it is, what caused it. It took weeks to figure this out, and everybody was giving me different answers. But apparently, in fact, you know, what one of the Radio Shack people said turned out to be true, that it does use more power when it's a weak signal. And
yep.
that seemed pretty ridiculous at the time, but it is true.
Well, right, if they're advertising service coverage in your neck of the woods up there on the island.
Well, no, they're not actually. In fact, if you look at the map, where I live is like a little tiny section where there's no coverage, and that's how it
like
works.
It's like they went around where you live.
Yeah, it seems that they did that. But we'll figure that out soon. We're going to take some phone calls. 212-279-3400. And if you're outside the country, of course, country code 1. We should be getting an update pretty soon from our web people as to what kind of listenership we have out there on the internet. And, of course, we know we have all our faithful listeners here in New York City. So 212-279-3400. Interesting website. Bernie, you certainly would find this kind of neat. It's not kind of neat. Kind of neat in the sense that it's, like, interesting and scary. The St. Paul Police Department has stuck pictures of everybody who has been accused of solicitation or engaging in prostitution right up there on the web. Now, the site is alpha.stpaul.gov/police, and basically, you have their pictures, you have their name, where they live. At least they don't have the street address, but they do have the town, their age, their height, their weight, and where they were arrested, and what kind of car they were driving if they were the people picking up Yeah, you know, they have both. They have both the you know, the buyers and the sellers. And last week they have basically all the people were convicted. And this week, none of the people were convicted. Not yet, anyway.
And these are people who have just been charged only. Not
yeah, well, the thing is, it says above their pictures, all persons are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Yes, we all know how that works.
Yeah, now, if they're innocent, why in hell are they putting their pictures up on the web? I mean, this is insane that they would actually, you know, go to this this extreme measure. What is the point of doing this? It seems like they're just trying to ruin people's lives by doing this. I mean, you need to know their license plate number. You know, their license plate number is on there. What? I mean, I could see some telemarketers really benefiting from this and saying, you know, these people would be interested in our product, and I think I'll mass mail them. But other than that, I can't really think of, you know, we have this age where we have to, like, put all the sex offenders online. We have to know exactly where they are at all times. Now people who engage in prostitution, we have to know who they are, where they live. And what are we moving towards? You know, everyone has to be accountable.
Well, the St. Paul Police Department must be pretty efficient to be able to have time to spend on this sort of project. There must not be any burglaries or muggings or rapes or anything like that going on, because they have time to fool around with this stuff.
Yeah, I gotta say, looking at some of these people, though, people in the Midwest seem to age a lot better than people around here. I mean, look at people in their 50s, and they look pretty good, you know, as far as, you know, their mugshots and all that. They look, you know, pretty, I don't know.
Are you talking about the buyers or the sellers?
I would guess this is a buyer, the one I'm looking at right now. Yeah. But, you know, that seller, I could swear that's a man. If you look at the picture, all right, if you go to that website and you look at the picture, you'll see the one I mean, and it's the first one, actually, and I don't know. That's just what I think.
What's that URL, Emmanuel?
Give me the other one back. It's alpha.stpaul.gov/police, and then you have to move around and find the various offenders and their pictures and things like that. Am I right? It's got that strong chin thing going there.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Now, you have something for us that's kind of scary as well.
Oh, yeah. On the topic of law enforcement, the federal government has, at the behest of the software publishing industry, has both this bill has now passed, or just failed through the Senate and the House with almost no opposition at all.
Bills seem to sail through with no opposition at all. Why is that?
It's a good question.
Well, okay, so what's in this bill?
Well, it's on, as far as I know, it's still on Clinton's desk, but there's no indication that he has any opposition to him signing this. And what this bill provides for is, it's a new federal copyright legislation, which makes it now, for the first time, a criminal offense, in fact, a felony, a federal felony, to possess, not necessarily have installed on your computer, but to possess unlicensed software, or that is software that you don't hold the license for, that has a retail value of exceeding $2,500, $2,500. And the penalties, if I read the United States Sentencing Guidelines correctly, for possessing that small amount, just $2,500. If you had more than that, the penalties would be more severe. But if I had $25,001 worth of copied software, that is software which was not registered to me but registered to someone else, and I didn't have the license for it, I could be found guilty of a federal felony and imprisoned for 2 years and fined $250,000.
And we know if you had been caught with that, that's exactly what would have happened to you if the Secret Service had anything to say about it.
Yeah, I think this is a kind of a disturbing trend where you know, there's just more and more laws passed, and if the powers that be are looking to get you for something, then it's another convenient statute.
It sounds like this is an attempt to overturn what people got from David LaMaccia in Boston a couple of years ago, where he was accused of pirating software, but he wasn't selling it, and he was let off because he basically was not doing what they were accusing him of doing. It sounds like they're trying to rewrite the law so that anyone who has software, whether they're selling it or not, and can't prove that they bought it, is guilty of trafficking stolen software. Is that correct?
That's right. And also, I suppose this could equally apply to Internet service providers or bulletin board system operators
mm-hmm.
who may, unbeknownst to them, and there's no exceptions for this in their legislation, unbeknownst to them, have $2,500 or more worth of software that's not licensed to them sitting on one of their servers. So it's a dangerous thing. I mean, you could easily squeeze $2,500 worth of copied software on a recordable CD disc or a backup tape. I mean, I've many times hesitated to buy an expensive piece of software and asked to borrow it from a friend to try it out to find out whether it met my needs or not. And you know, if you do that, you're potentially liable to go to prison. So it looks like Clinton's going to sign this thing. And if you've got any software that's not licensed to you, better clean house.
Wow. That is pretty scary. And you say it's sitting on Clinton's desk right now.
Well, it may not physically be sitting on his desk, but it's on the agenda to be signed.
Somebody could, get it off his desk somehow. I mean, we got the bumper sticker on the floor in his office, so we can do that. Maybe we can get that piece of paper off his desk. I don't know. Just a suggestion. But this has got to stop someplace. I mean, this is really, you know, these bills, where are they going to end? Everything's becoming a crime. And
I think that's the idea. That's the grand scheme.
Well, it's pretty sad. All right.
Why don't we take some calls?
Yes, I think we're going to do that. 212-279-3400. Let's go to the first one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. I haven't heard from you in a while.
What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing really. Just I was listening about the MetroCard thing, and I just want to mention that I had one last fare on my MetroCard, and I transferred to the bus for free.
Well, in other words, you must be something special.
No. Actually, I used my MetroCard and it had 75 cents left, or, you know, the one fare left from the bus, and then I went into the subway and it worked.
Uh-huh.
And also, I wanted to mention...
And it was zeroed out. It was totally zeroed out.
At the subway, yes.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention that Frontier does not work from payphones. When you dial 10211... and then 0 for the Frontier operator, or if you dial 10211 and then 0 in area code and number, it's going to say something to the effect of, we're sorry, there's a translation problem with your call. But you can have the Bell Atlantic operator dial 0 and have the Bell Atlantic operator, you know, forward you to Frontier. I don't know why it works. It works on regular, you know, home phones, office phones, things like that, but, you know, non-coin phones it works on, but it, for some reason they sort of cut off their access from payphones. I don't know why. It's this translation problem thing.
Okay.
But anyway, I wanted to play a tape of a song that I wrote in 1990, a song that I sung in 1980.
Listen, you've done this several times already.
No. This is not that. This is something different.
You have a second release.
Well,
From the archives.
It's
unreleased Rebel tapes.
Yeah, it's something that...
Tapes thought to have been destroyed, but miraculously they were uncovered from the trash.
I want people in other countries, in other parts of the country to hear.
There's no reason why people in other countries shouldn't know what we already know, so okay, go ahead and play it.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay, here.
Ready? Here we go.
It will show up on the itemized page of your phone bill. But when you make a local call too, it will just say the number of calls that you've made on your phone bill.
Okay.
All I could make out was phone bill.
Well, yeah. Boy. Those 9X jingles, I miss them. I'm just in shock. All right. Well, okay, now people in other countries know what's going on over here. And, give us a call. 212-279-3400. Yes, Bernie.
I think Rebel's been using an Omnipoint phone too long.
No, but that was from the 80s.
Oh.
That was a rebel of the past.
Well, he was already demented then.
Oh, I don't know. Yes, possibly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, I'm a caller from Singapore.
You're really from Singapore?
What? Yeah, you can trace his call.
Oh, don't worry. We got people working on it. But what time is it there now?
It's like 9:40 in the morning. I just came down from my house and made a call. I can't call overseas from my phone.
Wow. That's amazing. So tell us about Singapore. Is it really, I mean, can you get in trouble for all those things?
Yeah, but nobody actually arrests you and stuff. And, well, although they said internet is like regulated and stuff, that doesn't really happen. You can still access a lot of sites because the proxy server isn't really that good. They don't really maintain it.
We have verified this call is from Singapore, by the way. Thank you very much. But
okay.
Now, it's supposed to be costing you a pretty penny, so I won't want to keep you on very long, but are you able to get the show okay over there?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Sorry, I'm not having much back. Oh, yeah, one problem.
Yes.
When I subscribe and buy merchandise from your site, from your place, do I have to pay a shipping and handling charge?
No, everything that's on there is inclusive of everything, no matter where you are.
Oh,
that strange country you are in right now.
Yeah, I wish I could move to New York.
Well, come visit sometime. I'd like to see Singapore, but I'm afraid, you know? I'll do something. Is it... Okay, wait, just ask me one question. Is it true that if you urinate in an elevator, the doors lock and they call the police?
Yeah.
That happens?
In certain elevators, that really does happen.
My goodness.
But in my elevator, that doesn't work.
Your elevator's cool. All right, that's nice.
You've tested it.
Well, yeah, have you tested it? How do you know?
No, sometimes I put urine in my elevator, and I don't see any police coming over.
I see. All right, well, there are some bastions of civilization left. That's nice to know. That's great. I don't want to run up your phone bill, but it's really good to hear from somebody that far away.
Oh, that's great.
Anything you want to say to the hackers of America?
Hack Singapore.
Okay. Well, it's been done, but I'm sure it will be done again.
Okay.
All right.
So, bye.
Okay. Hang up. We'll hear all the weird noises that your phone makes. Not that one too many weird noises. That's something. You know, we're not ever going to get as far away as that, I don't think. I mean, that's it. I mean, the planet is only so big. We've been wanting to get, you know, overseas and far away. Can you get much further than Singapore? I don't think you can.
If you get any further away, then it's closer again.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works with this spear type of thing going on. But yeah, that did seem to be a call from Singapore, so that's pretty amazing.
That's great.
Okay, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey.
Hi, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay.
Yeah.
From Singapore to New Jersey.
Yeah, Singapore to New Jersey. Oh, I'm on already.
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. One of the things I wanted to know was the URL for the random... Yahoo. I'm sorry to, you know, bust the show up with that question, but I need to know.
Oh, you want us to repeat information? All
yes,
right.
Please.
While I'm looking for that, do you have anything else to say? Because I got to...
I've been listening for as many years as I've been living in the area.
Uh-huh.
People, I remember one night you played busy signals from all the old New York telephones.
Ah, yes.
That's what got me hooked.
Oh, that's been known to be something for the sweep period that definitely
that
brings
really?
In the audience. Yeah, the 18 to 34 especially.
I don't know.
Okay, random.yahoo.com/bin/ryl.
/bin/yrl, and that's...
No, R-Y-L.
R-Y-L.
Yes.
And that was random.yahoo.com.
Yeah, and you got to put the HTTP :// in front of that. But
hey, thanks a lot.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. Great show. I love you guys.
No problem. Take care. New Jersey, how about that? Oh, one far point to another. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Philip W. here. Cheering hello from your buddy at the City University of New York.
Well, hi.
Yeah.
You're calling from the City University of New York right now?
No, I'm not. I'm calling from home.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it's good to hear your voice. I wanted to let you know, as per your earlier conversation, that a number of City University colleges still do use Netscape 1.0. In fact, the particular one that I work for uses Mozilla 0.99 beta, 1.02, all versions of 3 and all versions of 4.
Wow, that must be a real special place to hang out.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
The reason is that the number of the city universities, as you know, have no budget, and so they have a lot of old machines.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of these old browsers are the only things that we can get running on them.
Interesting. I'm getting some reports now from the people running Real Audio. They say that number of net listeners went from 108 down to 3 when Rebel Song came on. And it's back up to 113 now.
So. Yeah, well, how could I possibly follow Rebel, you know? How can anyone follow Rebel?
Somebody has to. With
yes,
a big
thankfully
net.
The call from Singapore.
With a big net and a key to someplace, yes. The call from Singapore is really weird.
Yeah.
Can't believe that.
Well, I thought you might be interested to know this.
Yeah, well, the City University of New York has always been, on the cutting edge of one thing or another.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good night.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
We can fit in some more calls. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Zaf calling from Dallas, Texas. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. Listening to you on the internet, of course. Uh-huh. It's coming through terrific.
Great.
And I'm actually calling about the topic, that really bad piracy bill.
Okay.
Do
you know if that was passed? Do you know if it's still on his desk or anything like that?
I hope not.
Uh-huh.
It scares the hell out of me. I mean, I don't copy software anymore. I buy it. But when I was a kid, I copied it like mad.
Right.
And I just imagine, what are they going to do to these kids who collect and trade games back and forth? It seems ludicrous to have such severe punishment.
Yeah, I mean, what does the federal government get commission for everybody they put in prison? It seems to be a real priority. You put as many people in prison as possible in the next couple of years.
Absolutely.
In a way, the legislators are getting a commission because it's their campaigns that these software publishing association has donated huge sums of money to. So, yes, there's a cause and effect.
It's nuts. But one of the really whack things about this bill is that it doesn't just apply to software. It also applies to music. So I'm sure you guys are familiar with MP3 technology.
Right.
With, people trading songs and so forth. You know, for example, I'm a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, and I own every Smashing Pumpkins CD there is. But I converted them all to MP3s and burned it to a CD, so I'd have one CD that I can listen to. Randomize the whole thing while at work, right? Just possession of that, I mean, that's technically, if you had a couple MP3 CDs you'd made,
right,
you could get over that limit pretty easily.
Sure. I mean, it's selective prosecution. If they want to get you for something, they can get you for that.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what all these bills are opening the doors for.
It's nuts. We can only hope that it doesn't pass.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, it seems like it will if it sailed through as easily as Bernie said it did, and I don't think Clinton has any vested interest in stopping that.
Maybe a new version of Winamp that has integrated PGP or something.
Uh-huh.
decode while you...
We are going to need encryption for just about everything in order to keep our lives fairly private and immune from prosecution.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the priority of the day, is to prosecute us for various things.
It's a messed up world.
Yeah. Anything you want to tell us about the phone systems in Dallas or technology there?
Let's see. There's not a whole lot to say about the phone systems here. I've got ISDN. It seems to be working okay as far as the Real Audio is concerned.
Uh-huh.
I don't know a whole lot about the hacking scene here. I'm kind of older, and I don't do a lot of that type of thing anymore, but I do follow it with an interest.
Uh-huh.
I did go to a 2600 meeting once out here, and it was okay. It was kind of cool.
Well, that's good to know.
Anyway, show's coming through great.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, see you guys later.
Thank you. I wonder if we'll have a 2600 meeting in Singapore someday. Wouldn't that be cool? We could do that. All right, let's take another phone call. We have time for about one more. Good evening, you're on the air. Well, you had a bad home anyway, so I'm glad you hung up. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey.
How you doing?
Sound quality is really great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Englewood, New Jersey, but
don't have
access to a radio, so I'm listening over the net.
Okay, that's fine. Fair enough.
I just wanted to find out whether you're finding with the Sprint PCS phones whether there's a lot of instances where you're getting strange echoing artifacts.
Oh, yes. Lots of times.
Now, I mean, that almost seems like, makes it not worth it.
Well, it depends. If you're moving at high speeds, you're getting better sound than if you were using, say, your home phone moving at high speeds.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, you have to understand it's a cordless technology, so you're going to get some weirdness. Like Bernie, for instance, is in his house right now using one of these phones, and, he sounds just like he's using a regular phone.
Now, I noticed when I first got my Omnipoint phone, it was, I got it the first month that service was available here in Philadelphia, and the echo was very pronounced, and it was present in more often than not. But just the past couple of months, it's gone away almost completely. I just don't. In fact, I even forgot the problem existed until this guy just brought it up. I haven't heard the echo for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's worse in certain areas. I mean, I hear it's it's not so bad on Long Island, but it's a little worse in the city. Or...
Oh, it's bad on Long Island.
Oh, yeah?
Tell you, it's bad. If, if you're driving, you know, on certain roads, you know, the long, winding roads with the hills and all that kind of thing, you're going to get all kinds of weird Darth Vader effects. So that's something to be concerned with. But, you know, I'm just so amazed that I'm able to, you know, drive and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
And not kill myself. But it's not, you got to be careful, though. You got to really be careful. And a lot of people are doing this. So, you know, if you're using one of these portable phones, watch what you're doing.
Yep. Well, great. Love the show. Wish he'd be a little more discriminating with the call sometimes. Wish he'd just go for the hang-up button quicker, but
yeah.
Can I say?
Yeah, well, sometimes the entertainment value outweighs the sense of survival. That we
yeah, about one time out of 50, but hey. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Squeeze in one more over there. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay, you see, you got to talk a lot faster than that when we're running out of time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yeah. I have some stuff to say.
Well, you better say it fast.
Okay, I have an update on that Yahoo thing.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, we already mentioned that. Does not work anymore, and we gave out a different one for random URLs.
Okay, and my dad's friend went to Aruba, and he got me some GSM cards.
Uh-huh.
They're real weird. They only got that SIM on one side of them.
Uh-huh.
And you can go down to the supermarket and buy them. And there's different ones with, like, call forwarding and three-way. Then you just slide them into the bottom of the phone.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird.
Just regular, like, smart card-looking things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple.
They actually have those. OmniPoint actually has those for some of their phones. I've seen people using those.
Yeah, but it's crazy because you can just walk down to, like... They're Stop and Shop and pick them up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the point of GSM, is that the phone actually is the you know, the smart card.
And
basically interchange them.
Yeah, and I have an exploit for the Southern New England telephone payphones.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work on all of them, but if you hit zero...
Right.
And hold down the bottom three buttons and jiggle them a whole lot...
Yeah.
It'll beep, right? And you'll get, like, nothing for maybe 30 to 40 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll drop you off to a dial tone, and you can make all the calls you want within the local area.
That sounds interesting. But yeah. I'd definitely like to check up on that some more. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay.
But keep experimenting and let us know what you find, all right?
Okay, yeah.
All right, take care.
Bye.
And the GSM experimentation continues. A couple of things I want to point out before we leave. Someone actually went to the trouble of figuring this out. 9 out of 14 prostitute solicitors in St. Paul drive pickup trucks. Interesting little statistic there we just found out. I want to thank the Real Audio coordinators for tonight, Porkchop, Curatory, Ugly Pig, as well as the person who wrote the stat script, David Elkins. Just to give you an idea of all the people involved just in putting on this show, coders and servers, Phil, Master Yodo, Mim, Shift Lock, Acid Hack, Chris, Angerum, and Nathan Gelbart and Electro, and I apologize if I mispronounced anybody's name, but thanks everybody for helping us get on the net as well as over the air. Bernie S., I want to thank you for being with us tonight. And,
always a pleasure.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you again before the year is out, which is next week. And till then, just, you know, keep letting us know what's going on.
Will do. Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is Emmanuel Goldstein for Fiber Optic, who is on assignment, as we said. Have a good night.
What will you remember?
Coming up next, our voice, Crescent Rising.
What will you remember about 1997?
God, what happened in 97?
1997.
I found this bizarre and fascinating from beginning to end because...
It came and it went.
We got to see these really terrific pictures of another planet.